right? And so the Luke chapter number 22, and we're going to start there in verse number 14 to verse number 20 tonight. And this is, of course, Jesus in the upper room and the final supper and the last thing with his disciples. And so let's look what it says there in chapter number 14. If you found it, say amen. We'll know you're there. Luke 22:14, and it says, "And when the hour was come," and boy, that's a difficult hour, right? And the hour is going to come for everybody, right? There's no exception here. We're all facing something. "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you." And what I want to preach on tonight for a few minutes is this little thought where he said, this do remembrance of me. I want to preach on this thought of forgetting God. Because we're living a day when people are forgetting about God completely. And it's sad, the church is forgetting about God. It's how the Jews got in trouble. It's how they didn't recognize him when God came to his house. And they said, who gave you authority to do what you're doing? And Jesus said, you've made my house a den of thieves. This is my house. And they didn't even recognize the Lord of glory. And that's what's happening across the world and across America today. God doesn't recognize his house. Because his house is becoming something completely foreign to God. And we need to be remembering God, not forgetting him. Let's pray. Father, bless the word tonight. And God, we need to do this in remembrance of you tonight so desperately. And God, we need to remember you every morning when we get out of bed and remember you as we carry our lives through the day. God, we need to remember you when we lay down our head at night. God, if it wasn't for you, we would have nothing. You're our all in all. You are our everything. And God, I pray you bless the word tonight as I bring it. And thank you for your example and your admonition in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight as we preach on this thought of forgetting God, we're going to observe tonight what we call the Last Supper. And the final instruction concerning Christ and communion. How important it is. I want to notice in a weird way of introduction the command. And the command is there in verse 19 where he says, he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, he set forth something that he wanted to be remembered until he comes. And that is remembering his death, burial, and resurrection. Remembering his suffering on the cross of Calvary. And so that people would never say, what did God ever do for me? And people say that. You know, there's people that the church has helped and helped and helped and helped and helped. And then they'll say, they'll put on Facebook, the church never did anything for me. No, we just paid your light bill. We paid your rent. We paid your water. We got you a car. We gave you food. We treated you with love and respect and kindness, but we never did anything for you. Right? And their love has turned into hatred. And they can't say one good thing about the church. We were there when your family died. We were there when you needed help. We were there to comfort and give aid and consolation. But no, we never did anything. And the pastor hates me. And I'm thinking, do they not remember? Do they have Alzheimer's? Have they completely forgotten? How much more does Jesus Christ feel that way? When we think, God, you have let me down. Can I tell you right now, God has never let me down. And God has never given me what I deserve. Never given me what I deserve. And I'll tell you right now, I don't want what I deserve. All I want is God's love and mercy and grace. And he pours it down on me. But I'm amazed. That the attitude people have when it comes to God and the church and the church family. They forget so easily. And that's why the command was to remember. this do in remembrance of me. Keep your finger right there, looking for 1 Corinthians 11 for just a minute here. 1 Corinthians 11, because 1 Corinthians 11 is Paul speaking to the church. Anything right to save their life. I mean, they met everything they did. They messed it up. Read the book of Corinthians. You want to know what you shouldn't do? The book of Corinthians tells you what you shouldn't do. I mean, everything was wrong that they were doing. And chapter 11 is a tough chapter if you read it. Right? We're not reading the whole chapter, but it's a tough chapter. Dealing with men and their hair and their appearance, and women and their hair and their appearance, and so on and so on and so on and so on. Right? Hard sayings here when it comes to how their attitude towards one another and the love that they didn't have. Their divisions and their strife and the problems that they had. But notice what he says there in verse number 23, where we'll pick it up. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And so the command is about remembering. The command is about considering what he has done for us. And never letting it leave our mind. His great sacrifice. And then the partaking and reflecting. Look at verse number 21. Again, reflecting. The whole idea. Look back, in Luke 22, verse number 21. He says, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Jesus wants them to know, hey, I know what you're thinking. He's speaking directly to Judas, and Judas knows it. He said, truly the Son of Man goeth as determined, but woe unto that man by whom he's betrayed. He said, Judas, you don't even know what you're doing, son. Woe unto you for betraying me. Can I tell you, Jesus knows what's going on in your heart right now, what you're thinking. And he knows if there's anything between you and him. And what's he trying to get them to do, to understand, to think about what you're getting ready to do? Look what it says in verse 23. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Because they were all thinking, I'm capable of doing it. That's what they said. Is it me, Lord? Is it me? Am I the one that's going to do it? Because you're capable of anything, any second of it. And you need to remember that. And never think, well, I could never do that. You'd be surprised what you could do. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 27 and 28. And notice what he says. He says, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. I mean, that's as serious as what Judas is fixing to do. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. God says, hey, you need to be examining yourself and thinking about what it is you're doing and how you're standing with the Lord. You ever had a time in your life where you couldn't take the Lord's Supper because you were filled with bitterness towards somebody? Let me tell you, if your heart's filled with bitterness, you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper. You ought to deal with the bitterness. Your heart's filled with hatred or strife or lust or whatever you want to name. You need to take care of that before you take the Lord's Supper. Hey, you got some things you need to make right with God. Make it. That's why we give you a chance to pray before we take the Lord's Supper. So you can take care of what it is, whatever it might be God's speaking to you about. Because it's about remembering and about reflecting on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, notice the cause. Notice the cause. I mean, the cause is a serious cause that when it comes to the Lord. And again, notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 11, he said again in verse number 23 and 24, "If I have received the Lord, that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The causes were, hey, the bread is symbolic of his body. That's why I don't like to serve pre-made things. Because he broke the bread. That's why we break the bread. Because we want you to understand his body was broken for you. Right? And, you know, and I... God help us. God help us. Most communion is taken in the wrong manner. And never to be taken the way they do it, because the whole idea of the symbolism here is the breaking. Because every bone was out of joint. Not a bone was broken, but every bone was out of joint. And he received five different wounds in his body. I mean, the beating with a cat of nine tails, the beating with a scepter, the tearing of his beard, the piercing of the thorns, the piercing in his side with a spear and the hammer and the nails. We're supposed to remember that. You see, we've cleaned it up so it's not horrific or offensive. But it needs to be remembered in that way. And then the blood is the cup. It says, "In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." It's symbolic of the blood. Now we know the cup. We don't believe, as the Catholics do, we transubstantiate it and they turn it into the literal body and little blood of Jesus Christ and they become cannibals. Right? That's so crazy in itself. It's so crazy. But the idea that all of Christ's blood was poured out on Calvary is true. That's why it says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." The shed blood of Jesus Christ is what brings redemption and forgiveness. Now the application in John 21 in verses 1 to 14 is where I want to go next, in the practical application of everything we just looked at. Because the practical application is why we need to participate in the Lord's Supper. John chapter 21, Christ has showed himself to disciples three times. He showed himself to over 500 people. He showed himself to numerous people. And everyone knows for certain that he is alive. But yet they're still forgetting. In John chapter number 20 and verse number 14, look what it says, and then we're going to go back to verse number 1. John 21. Let me get it right. John 21, verse 14. It says, "This now the third time that Jesus showed himself to disciples after that he was risen from the dead." So they don't think he's alive. They know he's alive. Right? And the sad thing is they're completely forgetting. Chapter 21, verse 1, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. And they were gathered together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee," that'd be James and John, "and two other disciples. Simon Peter saith them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." You're not going to get along any good without Jesus Christ. And God help us, this is a practical application, because these are the pillars of the church. And they've completely turned their back on God. Completely turned their back on God. We're seeing preachers do that all across this nation. Completely turning their back on God. We're seeing Christians completely turn their back on God. And you've heard them say it, "I don't care if I ever go to church again." I hope to God that never comes out of my mouth. Can I say this tonight? In a way of practical application, we are prone to forget. It is our nature to forget. It is our defense mechanism to forget. That's why when something happens to you horrific, you black out. And you don't know what happened. When something horrific is happening to you, you completely black out. It's a defense mechanism that God has given to us. So when something horrific is happening, why do you think people are frozen? Because they completely black out when these things happen. And they can't tell you what happened to them. It's how we cope with situations. Can I tell you, it's how we cope with sin. Why do people fall out of church? They black out concerning Christianity. And that's what sin causes people to do. They go completely away from God and forget they were ever a child of God. Sorrow makes people black out. And they completely go away from God. Forget it. We'll just act like it never happened. What's Peter doing? He's been with Jesus for 3.5 years. And now he's back in the same place where Jesus found him the first time. And James and John are also. They're the chief apostles. What does communion do? It makes us remember. It makes us reflect. It makes us recalibrate. You say, what is Jesus doing here on the sea? What's he getting ready to do? He's getting ready to break some bread. He's getting ready to break some fish. He's getting ready to serve some drink. And effectively, you're having your first communion after the resurrection. And he's calling these guys together to remember who and what they are. And remember who and what he is. Can I tell you, Jesus is passionate about his will. Look at verse number 4. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. Now he called them children. He didn't call them, you bunch of backslidden godless reprobates. Like you and I would. Right? He's looking for them. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore. Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, this is a two-pronged thing here. You understand? The church is getting ready to be born on the day of Pentecost. And these guys are going to need some money to do it. So they've gathered all these fishes up, and they're going to be sold, and they're going to be able to bankroll their activities in the next few weeks. Just like the first draught of fishes bankrolled their activity when they began following Jesus. Twofold. Because they're not going to eat these fishes. Jesus already got a fish on the fire. He's providing. God provides for his own. It says, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. I mean, John says, this ain't possible. We've only seen this one other time. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast in the sea. I said one time, there you go, there's the first pope. Naked and backslidden. You say, Brother Chris, you trying to make people mad? Not really, but it is what it says. I don't believe he was the first pope. I don't believe there is any pope. There's a potentate, and that's Jesus Christ. But we don't worship man. And right there's why. Because men are prone to personal failings.
And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. Hey, a couple boats out there, right? But as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw the fire, coals thereon, fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for there were so many, yet the net was not broken. What an amazing thing. And then verse 12, he saith unto them, come and dine. And none of them durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. Now that was the most quiet breakfast that's ever been eaten in human history. Because these men are filled with shame. Because they know Jesus is finding them where he found them the first time. I would not like for God to find me in a bar. I would not like for him to find me with pornography in my hands. I would not like for him to find me with a beer in my hand or a Jack Daniels in my hand or a cigar in my pocket. That's how he found me when I got saved. God help us, I don't want him to find me that way the second time. The Bible says they dined. They dined. Don't you know they're thinking about the Last Supper? The last time they dined? And didn't Jesus say, hey, in the kingdom of God, I'm going to drink it new with you? The kingdom of God is in full force at this moment. And they're having a meal with Jesus. And what are they all thinking? What are they thinking? Now the reminder. Verse 13. Or verse 14 or 15. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. Why Peter? Because he's the chief apostle. Everything rises and falls on leadership. They're going to do whatever Peter's doing. That's obvious. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Hey, there's some kids depending on you. There's some young people depending on you. He saith to him again the second time, and parents, mom and dad, grandpa, hey, let me tell you, there's some children depending on you. Your stability and your leadership. And your consistency. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. There's some people depending on you. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Peter did love him. But he's out of position. It's hard to serve the Lord when you're out of position. Because I can serve the Lord on the golf course. No, you can't. Don't tell me you're serving the Lord on the golf course. And I'm not against the golf course. There's a time and place for everything. I love golf. God just won't let me go. I love hunting, I love fishing, I love sport, every sport of every kind. And God said, no, I have made you a fisher of men, and I don't want you to do that right now. And he knew Peter loved him. And he said, as Peter was grieved, unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoke this, he said unto him, follow me. You know, Peter never had trouble following the Lord again. He never had trouble following the Lord again. Matter of fact, neither did James and John. Matter of fact, none of the disciples had any problem following Jesus after that. You say, why? Because they need to take a few minutes to remember what God had done for them. A little few minutes on the seashore breaking some bread and having some communion with Jesus. Why is communion important? It gives you a chance to think about how you're living for Jesus. And we need to observe the Lord's Supper. We need to remember His death till He comes. We need to think daily what God has done for us. And that's why we're having the Lord's Supper tonight. And it is important that we participate. So if Miss Susan will come, Miss Linda, if you'll come, and what we're going to do, we're going to let you play something on the organ and the piano. And as they play, it's going to give you a chance to pray. And take a minute and talk to Jesus. And make sure, if you're saying tonight, Lord, is it me? And you can take a minute and deal with whatever that thing is. Take a minute to consecrate yourself to God. Take a minute to say, God, I'm sorry. Take a minute to say, God, forgive me for that. And when we receive this Lord's Supper tonight, your heart will be clean. And it'll mean a whole lot more to you. Because it won't be with shame that you're covering something up that no one can see but God. Take a minute and come clean. And you will enjoy what's going to happen in the next few minutes. We're going to pray, and they're going to play. Father, I pray you bless the word tonight. As we bow our heads and think about our personal relationship with you, and God, if there's anything between you and us tonight, God, reveal that, what that is. Bring it to our mind that we can confess it. And God, that we can, Lord, that you can cleanse it. And that our heart and mind will be clear tonight. And Father, we're just asking for your mighty touch and your hand as we remember your death until you come. In Jesus' name. Dale, Brother Charlie, if you'll come forward and prepare the table. You can come forward. Come on over here. We're going to do the bread first. The Bible says this. When the Lord spoke to them, again He says, I said to them with desire. This is something God wants to share with you. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I say unto you, I will not eat anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And the Bible says He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until thy kingdom come, the kingdom of God shall come. And He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and said unto them, saying, this is my body, this is given unto you for you, this do in remembrance of me. So He took the bread and He dispersed it. Men, if you'll, brother, if you'll disperse the bread. Says, He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given in remembrance for you. This do remembrance for me. Brother Charlie, if you'll ask the blessing on the bread. Said, take ye and eat ye all of it. And it says, He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Brother, you'll divide the cup. Thank you. said, "This is the cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." And he said, "Drink ye all of it." And it says that they went out and they sung a hymn. Let's all stand. We'll sing "Amazing Grace." Dismiss us in a word of prayer.